Amen. That's great singing. And not only is it great singing, but thank God it's a great truth. Heaven's conquering weapon. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Our scripture reading tonight is found, two scripture readings. One is found in the Old Testament in the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 23. When you find it and put your finger in Numbers chapter 23, put your finger in the New Testament into 2 Peter chapter 2. Just one verse in Numbers chapter 23 and the verse number 10. And then we're turning to 2 Peter chapter 2 and the verse number 15. The Word of God says in Numbers chapter 23 and verse 10, "Who can count the dust of Jacob and the number of the fourth part of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his. Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his." And then we're turning to 2 Peter chapter 2 and the verse number 15. The Word of God says in 2 Peter chapter 2 and the verse number 15, "Which have forsaken the right way, and they're gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness." Which have forsaken the right way, and they're gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Amen. We're ending just those two verses of divine scripture tonight. And we know that God will always bless the public reading of divine truth. Open up the Word of God, please, again to the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 23. I just want to read the text that the Lord has laid upon my heart. Once again, Numbers chapter 23 and the verse number 10. The Word of God says, "Who can count the dust of Jacob and the number of the fourth part of Israel, that may die the death of the righteous, and that my last end be like his?" Amen. We're just going to bow our hearts and our heads before the Lord. Unsaved friend tonight, if you're in this meeting without Christ, it's God's voice you need to hear. And that's why we've met earlier to pray that God's voice will be heard. And that God would speak to some lost poor soul. And I ask you and I invite you to ask God to speak to your heart to save you. And thank God there's still cleansing power in the blood of the Lamb. Child of God, pray along with me that God will take his word tonight. Our gracious God and loving Father, we come, O God, humbly to thy feet. We thank thee, O God, for all that has went before. We thank thee, O God, for the privilege to open a meeting in prayer, to come to the God of heaven. We thank thee, O God, for reading the infallible word of the living God. Lo, men have tried to burn it and blame it and bury it and ban it. Thank God it's alive tonight. And Lord, we thank thee for the privilege to be fit to read it publicly. And Lord, for these wonderful hymns that we're sang in the tithes and offering for the work here. But Lord, we know that the preaching has the preeminence, and we cry tonight, O God, that I would come and take the word of the living God, and I would apply it to some poor lost soul tonight. And for this, Father, we need the help of the third person of the wonderful Trinity. And I cry tonight that the Spirit of God would be the preacher. And I cry tonight, loving Father, empty that thou shouldest fill me. A clean vessel in mine hand, with no power but as thou givest. Graciously with each command, fill me with the Holy Ghost and with power. Answer prayer and glorify thy dear and well-beloved Son. For I offer prayer in his beautiful name. Glorify Christ tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want this evening to take Numbers chapter 23 and the latter part of verse number 10. Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his. I want to preach a gospel message that God has given to me tonight for this congregation down in Mourne Free Presbyterian Church under a title that I simply entitled, Balaam's Tragedy. Balaam's Tragedy. You see, men and women tonight in the meeting, here was a man by the name of Balaam. And one day in his life, the Bible records how that Balaam said, let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his. And yet tonight, man and woman, how sad are these words that was written, and these words that were spoken by Balaam. For tonight, man and woman, Balaam didn't die the death of the righteous, but Balaam died unrighteous. And tonight, Balaam is in God's hell. Imagine one day as he came and he says, let me die the death of the righteous. He had all the intentions right. He wanted to get to God's heaven. But yet tonight, this very night, 27th of August, 2017, Balaam tonight is in the cavern of the dam. And I was thinking when I was preparing this word this week, like the rich man in hell, how that his memory torments him. How that the memory of a man by the name of Lazarus. And Lazarus begged him. And Lazarus witnessed to him. And Lazarus, how he comes and he pleads with the rich man daily. Rich man, you need to be saved. Rich man, you need to come to Christ. And the rich man tonight, he's still in God's hell. And he's tormented. Tormented by the memory. A faithful servant of God, knowing that that man pleaded and prayed for his soul. And I was thinking tonight of Balaam. Do you not think tonight in God's hell, those words torment Balaam tonight, let me die the death of the righteous. I'm sure tonight, as Balaam's in God's hell, I'm sure those words torment him. Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my end be like his. You see, men and women, what a day it'll be when Balaam stands before the great white throne judgment seat, knowing what he knew. Balaam knew the right way. Not only what a day it'll be for what he knew, what a day it'll be for Balaam. After what he said, let me die the death of the righteous. But tonight he's in hell. And I'll tell you, men and women, there's a multitude tonight across the world, and they're like Balaam. They want to go to God's heaven. Oh, many a man, many a woman in our province tonight, they want to go to God's heaven. They want a deathbed repentance. They want someday to be a saint in earth, saint in heaven. But the problem is with many today in our land, they don't want to be a saint on earth. I tell you, men and women, it's a tragedy that Balaam tonight, who uttered these words, let me die the death of the righteous, I tell you, he's condemned in hell tonight. And he was privileged. And he was blessed. And yet tonight in Mourne Free Presbyterian Church, you're privileged. Why should you hear the gospel twice when there's many across the world haven't heard it once? Not telling you, men and women, there's many a man, many a woman, many a wee boy, many a wee girl, they leave the pew and they go to the pit. Did you hear me? There's many, they leave the pew and they go to the pit. Didn't Solomon say that? And Ecclesiastes 8 and verse 10, and so I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone from the place of the holy.
Solomon comes and he says, I saw the wicked buried. Yes, they had come and gone from a church. They had come and gone from the place of the holy. But he saw them buried and he describes them as wicked. And I tell you, man and woman, there's a generation and they're coming from God's house and they're dying and going to God's hell. And yet they had all the intentions of Balaam. Let me die the death of the righteous. Balaam's tragedy, I want to show you firstly and quickly tonight. Balaam's words. Balaam's words. We'll find them again. In the verse number 10, the latter part, Balaam comes and he says, let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his. Here was an ungodly man. And one day in his life, Balaam had considered death. You see, man and woman, Balaam never would have said these words if he hadn't been thinking upon death. And one day, Balaam, the subject of death comes upon him. And he says these words, let me die the death of the righteous. Now, why would an ungodly man? Why would an ungodly man who loved prestige, he loved the power, he loved position, he loved pounds, sound familiar in Ulster tonight? Why would this man one day give considerable thought to death? Could I suggest to you, man and woman, it was a mercy of God. It was a mercy of God. Turn, please, to the Word of God, to the book of Ecclesiastes. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and the verse number 11. Here is this man this day and he comes and he's been contemplating death. And he comes and he says, let me die the death of the righteous. And yet it was a mercy from God. You say, why? Well, look what the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 3 and verse number 11. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. The evolution is not like that. He made everything. I'm going to tell you, this world didn't start by a big bang. In the beginning, God. We live in a generation, we live in a country, we live in a world that hates God and hates everything about God. The Bible says here, he hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he hath set the world in their heart. The Hebrew word, world, can mean eternity. It can be read, also, he hath set eternity in their heart. And here's a day when old Balaam, and Balaam's thinking about death, and Balaam's thinking one day how he would like to die. Let me die the death of the righteous. Let me die and go to God's heaven. I'll tell you, it was a mercy of God. Mercy of God. You see, if you turn over to Ecclesiastes chapter 7, it says it's better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. You see, men and women, it would do us all good. You see, it's all right going for something to eat that satisfies the physical and the flesh. But the Bible says it's better to go to the house of mourning rather to the house of feasting, because that's the end of all men, and men will thank you of eternity. But I'll tell you what's lost in our land. You go to the normal wake house tonight right across the land. And men, they talk about everything and anything. And there's no solemnity. And there's no presence of God. Men don't want to talk about judgment. Men don't want to talk about death. Men don't want to talk about heaven, hell, sin, righteousness, judgment. Why is that? Because we live in a land where there's no fear. There's no fear of God. And child of God tonight, the reason why there's so much of no fear of God in the land, because there's so little fear of God in the assemblies. So little. That's why the average man, the average woman sometimes, they'll come in that the church starts at 12 o'clock, we'll come in at 12:15. That's why when the church service is over, it's like Brown's cows. You see, men and women, we've lost the fear of God. And there'll be no fear of God in the land, so the fear of God comes again to the bride of Christ. But the Bible saying here, it's better to go to the house of mourning and go to the house of feasting. For that is the end of all men, and the living lets his heart. Unsaved friend tonight, when's the last time you've given consideration about death? Honestly. When's the last time, unsaved friend in the meeting, that you've sat down, maybe at night time, maybe in your bed, that you've given honest consideration about death? You see, the Bible is very clear about the subject of death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The wages of sin is death. Job said, "For I know that thou wilt bring me to death." The book of Samuel said, "For we must needs die." The book of Job says, or book of Ecclesiastes says, I believe it is, "All go unto one place. All are of the dust and all turn to dust again." You see, many tonight live in the world's philosophy. Eat, drink, be merry. Tomorrow we die. I want to tell you, unsaved friend tonight, the God of heaven who holds your next breath in his hand, it could be tonight. For he has the keys of death and of hell. When's the last time, unsaved friend, you've given consideration about the subject of death? You see, Balaam did. Balaam comes one day and he thinks about the subject of death. Tell you better than this, Balaam not only thought about death, he thought of how he wanted to die. Balaam comes and he says, "Let me die the death of the righteous." Balaam wanted to get to heaven. Balaam wanted to be in God's heaven. Balaam wanted to die like the genuine, born again, regenerated, born again soul. He wanted to be in God's heaven. Those that have turned from their sin, those that have repented from their sin, those that have believed in Christ, and Christ has given to them the imputed righteousness, and they're clothed with the garments of salvation, and the robe of righteousness is imparted, imputed to them. That's how Balaam wanted to die. He wanted to die like the genuine, born-again Christian. And you see, man and woman, only a fool. How near fool would want to die and go to God's hell? I'm sure if I went into the town of Kilkeel tonight and stopped traffic and stopped people about their business and asked them, "Would you want to die and go to heaven or hell?" It would be the majority want to get to heaven. It would only be some fool that would say, "Let me die and go to hell." You see, Balaam, he had given careful thought about death and he wanted to be in God's heaven. And I tell you, men and women, listen to me, there's multitudes like that. Aye, and there's numbers in the Free Presbyterian Church that have sat in a pew for many a year and they want to get to heaven. And they've sat under the best of Free Presbyterian preachers and they're not saved tonight. And they're condemned already. And they're a heartbeat away from hell. But oh, if you stopped them at the door and you said, "Jimmy, you need to be saved, Jimmy. Margaret, you need to be saved, Margaret. Have you said to them, you need to be saved?" They say, "I want to be in heaven." But I tell you, men and women, all the intentions in the world of getting to heaven will not take you to heaven. Did you notice Balaam says, "Let me die the death of the righteous"? Very interesting. Balaam didn't say, "Let me live like the righteous." Balaam comes and he says, "Let me die like the righteous." Didn't say, "Let me live like the righteous." And I tell you, there's scores in their province tonight. And they don't want to live like the righteous. They don't want to repent of sin. They don't want to turn from their sin and turn to repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. But they want heaven. Can I say tonight? Jesus Christ said, "Die in your sins, whither I go, ye cannot come." Jesus said it. Jesus said, die in your sins. Where I go, ye cannot come. Where was Christ going? To heaven. And he comes and he says to the ungodly tonight, die in your sins. You're not getting to heaven. Now we live in a land. And we live in a land that's getting more anti-God. And more pagan by the day and by the week. Sure, everybody dies and goes to heaven, we're told. Many times have you been to awake, sir? Many times, dear, you've been to awake where you've heard the words people say, sure, it's better for them. Sure, we've all been to wakes where somebody has said, look, it's better for them. It's better that they're away. Wouldn't matter how ungodly a man lived, how wretched, how deplorable he was. Sure, they would all say, sure, it's better for him. Can I say to you tonight, men and women, when the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking of Judas Iscariot, he didn't say, Christ said it had been better if he hadn't been born. He didn't say it was better that he died. Jesus Christ comes and he speaks of Judas, the one that betrayed him, the one that sold him for 30 pieces of silver. He comes and he speaks of Judas and he says, it would have been better for that man if he hadn't been born. And yet we live in a land, no matter how ungodly you live, no matter how wretched you are, people will come and they'll say, up their way to heaven. Well, I want to nail it from this pulpit. Jesus says, whether I go, if you die in your sins, you're not going. Now, I don't care what they put up on social media. Imagine if Balaam had lived in the 21st century. Sure, Facebook and Twitter and other things would have been covered. Safe in the arms of Jesus. The Lord is my shepherd. I don't care, sir, what they say in the epitaph or the epilogue. I don't care what they say in the obituary column of the newsletter of the Irish News. I don't care what man comes and says that you're in heaven. Jesus knows them that are his. And if you die in your sin tonight in this meeting, you're not getting to heaven. You're not getting to heaven. No matter how this world is so anti-God and anti-gospel and anti-grace and everybody's going to heaven, you're not going unless your name's written. In the Lamb's book of life, you see, men and women, only the righteous, only those that have turned from sin and repented, and by faith, repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. What a transfer it was in the cross where Christ would take our sin. But yet Christ would transfer to us his imputed righteousness where he would clothe the sinner. You see, tonight, men and women, the devil's in the business of stripping. Ah, sin strips a man. But thank God tonight, God's in the business of clothing sinners. And only the righteous die in the Lord. You see, the Bible says nothing that defileth shall enter in. Nothing that defileth shall enter in. Doesn't God's word say, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Tell you, men and women, what also is rampant in the land. We live in a day and generation where easy believism is taught. Easy believism. You see, it was rampant in Ezekiel's day. Turn to Ezekiel chapter number 13, please. Ezekiel chapter 13. Ezekiel chapter 13, and the word of God says in Ezekiel 13 and verse 1, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy, and say thou unto them that prophesy out of their own hearts, hear ye the word of the Lord. What were these men prophesying, these false prophets, what were they saying? Look at verse number 22. I tell you, men and women, Ezekiel lived in a day of easy believism. Look what it says in verse 22. Because with lies ye have made the heart of the righteous sad, whom I have not made sad, and strengthening the hands of the wicked, that he should not return from his wicked way, by promising him life. And you see, we live in a day and generation, and there's, I wouldn't call them churches, they're not churches. And there's men and there's women and there's young people, and they're putting their foot up and they're putting their hand up, and they're making a wee prayer and signing a wee card, and a week later, a day or two later, they're back in the cigarettes, they're back in the drink. I want to tell you, men and women, that's not biblical salvation. That's sham. That's sham. And you see, there's a crowd of people going about easy believism, and they're strengthening the hands of the wicked that he should not return from the wicked way. What doing? By promising him life. I thank God tonight for a gospel that changes a man. I thank God tonight for the blood that delivers men and women from sin. From sin. You see Balaam's words. Not only Balaam's words, but what about Balaam's works? Turn with me to the passage that we read, 2 Peter. 2 Peter 2 and verse 15. Balaam's words, what about Balaam's works? The Word of God says in 2 Peter 2 verse 15, which have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Bozer, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. You see, Peter lifts the lid. Peter comes and he lifts the lid about this character, Balaam. And Peter comes and Peter says, Balaam loves the wages of unrighteousness. He comes and he says, boy, see that man, Balaam. Balaam loves his sin. Balaam loves it. Could I say tonight, honestly, a friend in the meeting tonight, the reason why you're not saved tonight, born again of the Holy Ghost, is because you love your sin. You love your sin. Now, the preacher tonight doesn't know your sin, but the God of heaven knows your sin. He knows what you indulge in. It might be an ungodly relationship, with all its immorality and all its fornication what that brings. It might be drink tonight. It might be gambling tonight. It might be the dancing and the discos and the nights out. God knows tonight what your sin is. You see, this man, he loved the wages of unrighteousness. And Balaam comes and he says in his own words, he says in the book of Numbers, I have sinned. Now, do you realize tonight, honestly, friend, you're not sinning against the Free Presbyterian Church. You're not sinning against Mr. Patterson. You're not sinning against us tonight. Your sin is against a holy, sin-hating God, an infinite God tonight. And Balaam comes and he says, I have sinned. Very interesting, Peter says, verse 16, but was rebuked for his iniquity. Here was a man and he knew he was a thoroughbred sinner. And I don't care tonight whether you're an educated sinner, whether you're a confirmed sinner, a catechized sinner, a Protestant sinner, a Roman Catholic sinner. Tonight, unsaved friend, you're a sinner. And you need to realize before Almighty God, I have sinned. And your sin's not against a court tonight, not against a judge of a county court or the big court. Tonight your sin's against God. Imagine tonight as God looks down into this meeting. He sees one that's broken and violated the Decalogue. He sees tonight how you've broken his commandments, how you've desecrated his day. How that you've had other gods before the Jehovah God. How today that you've not only desecrated his day, how that you've stole, how that you've blasphemed the name of Christ. Very interesting, the man uses a hammer or something and hits a nail. He doesn't say, "Ah, Buddha. Ah, Muhammad." Ah, he takes the name of Jesus Christ in vain. God looks down tonight. God sees your sin, friend. God sees it. I tell you, sir, tonight your wife mightn't have seen it. But God sees it. God sees your sin. You see, don't you blame somebody else for your sin. The blame game's been on for a long time, as long as the world is. Didn't Adam blame the wife, and the wife blamed the serpent? But the Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. Be sure your sin will find you out. Doesn't the Bible say in Proverbs 5:22, his own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall behold him with the cords of his sins. That's the description of a sinner. And he's held by the cords of his own sin. And as he accumulates sin, the cords tighten, and they tighten, and they tighten, and they hold the sinner. And he's guilty of his own sin. Here was a man, but he wanted to go to God's heaven. He wanted heaven. Ah, but he loved his sin. I remember preaching in a mission many years ago. And there was a man one night, and he was under conviction of sin. And when a man approached him about his need of salvation, he says, "What the preacher's saying, right, I know I need to be saved. But," he says, "I can't give it up. Love my sin, I can't give it up." I want to tell you, sinner, someday you're going to give up your sin. You die, I want to tell you, there's no drink in hell. You're not taking that immoral, ungodly lifestyle with you to hell. You'll crave it, but you'll not get it. You'll give it up someday. And I tell you, man and woman, it's better to give it up in time and want to give it up in eternity. Here was a man, and he loved his sin. He loved the wages of unrighteousness. Doesn't the Bible say the way of the transgressor is hard? I want to tell you, get into the big hospitals tonight. Go on into the big hospital tonight and see the drug addict. Go and ask them, did his nights out and his heroin and his drugs, did they satisfy? Go and ask the alcoholic tonight that's dying in the hospitals. Go and ask them, did his nights out with the boys and the booze, did they satisfy? Go and ask the man that smoked 60, 70 cigarettes a night, a day. And tonight, he's on the verge of God's hell. Go and ask them, did his sin satisfy? The Bible says the wages of sin is death. I want to tell you, death physically, death spiritually, and death eternally. Worse for Balaam, he was convicted of his sin. But yet tonight he's in hell. How many times have you been to Mourn Free Presbyterian Church? Many missions serve you attend. But yet at the cross they just sat and they watched him there. How many times have you been to this church where men of God have come and preached Christ in all their fullness? And you sat and you've watched him there, and just like the soldier, you're gambling. Gambling tonight. Gambling for another opportunity. How many times have you been convicted? Been to missions, been to meetings, heard men testify, heard men and women sing, and you've been convicted by your sin. You've been convicted by your loose and ungodly living. Tonight you're not saved. Tonight you're one step away from hell. Do you realize the reality? One step away from God's hell. And yet tonight you sit unmoved. Yet tonight you sit in your sin. Yet tonight you're going to sell the Savior. You're going to go out this night again and trample the blood of Christ onto your feet. Balaam's words. Balaam's works. Finally and quickly, Balaam's way. Look what it says in
Second Peter chapter 2, verse 15, which have forsaken the right way. And they're gone astray, following the way of Balaam. How many tonight across our land, across the province, are forsaking the right way? There is a way that seemeth right, seemeth. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. It seemed right. They were taught that it was right. And it seemed right. But they've woke up in God's hell and it's a way of death. How many have forsaken the right way and gone astray? In the wee book of Jude, it says, woe unto them that go the way of Cain and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward and perished. And I was thinking on his reading over that verse this week, woe unto them that have gone the way of Cain. And then the Holy Ghost was in Balaam. The way of Cain, the way of Balaam. And I was thinking about the way of Cain. Oh, boy, Cain, he tried his best. He worked hard. He brought all that he could with his hands. And he worked so hard. And he presents that to the Almighty God. But I tell you, men and women, it fell short. All his fig leaves and all his work, it didn't work his way back to God. And I tell you how many across the land tonight are dependent on church attendance. I want to tell you, you can go to every free Presbyterian church in the north of Ireland, but if you're not saved, you're not getting to heaven, sir. You can attend all their faithful places of worship. You can be a member of any church. You can go to church. You can be a good Protestant. You can be a good devout Roman Catholic. But I tell you tonight, you're not working your way back to God. For thank God the work is done. Christ has died. Christ has shed his blood. Thank God it's a finished work. I woe unto them that go the way of Cain. Many are trying by their church attendance, being a good Protestant, being good devout Roman Catholic. That's going to get them into heaven, I want to tell you. It's not getting them to heaven. Then Jude spoke about those that ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward and perished. Balaam was one that loved position. Balaam was one that loved power. And pounds. He loved power and position. And many tonight, they think because of their job title. They think of the money, what they have on a bank account. They think of a checkbook. They think of their social standing. That God Almighty is going to let them into heaven. I want to tell you, God's no respecter of persons. God's not letting any man, any woman into heaven unless they've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Woe unto them. Go the way of Cain. And those that perish like Balaam. You see, man and woman, Balaam wanted to die the death of the righteous. Oh, he wanted heaven. He wanted to die the death of the righteous. Yet, the Bible records in Numbers 31, or records even in Joshua 13 and 22, how did Balaam die? The Bible says, Balaam also, the son of Bozer the soothsayer, did the children of Israel slay with the sword. I, the one that wanted to be in heaven with the righteous, died by the righteous. You see, does that not teach you what the Bible says? He that being often reproved, hardened of his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and not without remedy. Doesn't the book of Job say, because there is wrath, beware? God comes to you tonight and he says, sinner friend, because there's wrath, and there's wrath against you and God because of your sin, he says, beware, lest he take thee away with a stroke. Then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. I want to tell you, he wanted to die the death of the righteous, but he didn't want to give up his sin. Think of the righteous one for a few moments. Jesus Christ. God's elect servant, the Lamb chosen, the one that came to this sin-cursed earth. And I tell you, men and women hated him. They hated my Savior. How he was laughed at and mocked and ridiculed. How they despised him. How he was rejected of men. How they mocked him. They scoffed him. They hated him. And yet he knew no sin. The righteous Son of God, he knew no sin. He did no sin. And he lived among sinful men. And he kept the law, precept upon precept. And how that Jesus Christ the Father said, "This is my beloved Son. Beloved of the Father, hated by the world." Yet the righteous Son of God would come. And he would die for his enemies. He would die for us that hated him. The righteous one. The one that would come and die. On blood-stained Calvary. Think upon the Christ of God. The one who came. A man done the worst. Wicked hands took him. Wicked hands crucified him. And after man had done the worst what they could do to Christ. How the earth was covered with divine darkness. And there in the cross of Calvary, the wrath of God was poured upon Jesus Christ. How the Christ, he was wounded for our transgressions. How the Christ, God the Father struck him. He was smitten of God. I tell you, man and woman, for 3 years, the wrath of God for the sin of his people was poured upon Christ. And he went out of fellowship of the Godhead. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? God forsaken of God. And yet he would bleed and die. And yet he would take a broken law upon him. And he would take your sin and mine. And he would die as the righteous one, but yet on the cross when he was dying, he was guilty. Guilty for me. Guilty for you. There in the cross, Christ would die. And Christ would step into death to destroy the devil who had the power of death. Thank God, in the third day, God the Father raised him from the dead. We present to you tonight a living Savior. One that is well able to save your dark, hellish soul tonight. Thank God tonight. Christ arose, and thank God he lives in the power of an endless life and he wants to save you. I don't be like Balaam tonight. There's many in our families and boys with all in their families and everyone. There's a few and they always say, "I want to be in heaven." And the reality is they maybe never see it. Tonight, sinner, come. Come to the righteous Savior. Thank God tonight there's cleansing power in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God there's power in the blood. Thank God tonight there's power in the gospel. Come. Turn from your sin. Thank God tonight what the Pharisees said, "This man receiveth sinners." He'll receive you tonight. Let's bow in a word of prayer, please. Man and woman, I believe months ago God gave me this word for this congregation tonight. If there was ever one text of Scripture I couldn't get out of my head, it was this text. Balaam's tragedy. And the devil's deceiving many. Unsaved friend, come tonight. Our gracious God and loving Father, we ask, O God, what has been of thyself, that thou would take it and use it to the honor and the glory of thy Son. What has been of man, that it fall to the ground, it will accomplish nothing. But take of thy word and use it for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee tonight for the power of the gospel. But Lord, the things that were written aforetime were written for our instruction and tonight, Lord, there's sinners in this meeting and they're not saved. And yes, Lord, maybe they'd be. They want to be in heaven, but tonight, Lord, they're not ready for heaven. We cry tonight that Thou would save them and make them ready. Answer our mother's prayer tonight. Answer our daddy's prayer. Glorify Thy Son. Take us from the meeting, Lord, in the sense of Thy presence. Give solemnity, Father. Undertake, O God, we cry. Take us to our homes in safety. And bring sinners unto Thyself. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.